Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You are in for the experience of your lifetime. Quite clearly, something's going on as we take this incredible character, Jonah, and we experience what you experienced as Jonah. Maybe I should call some of you Jonah-lina, okay? So the Jonahs and the Jonah-linas, you're going on a journey. The same journey that Jonah went on many years ago, like 3,000 years ago maybe. And if you allow yourselves to become part of that story, this experience will help you on your own spiritual journey. So you're up for this. First, let me zoom you out into outer space. If you were on that comet this week, remember the comet, and you landed on it, you would look down and you would see that black ring around, because that's to show the area we're focusing on this morning in the Middle East, right? But you've got to look really close because that black ring is quite small. And if I zoom in, you'll see this. You'll see the land, you'll see the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, you'll see the ocean over there, the Mediterranean, Joppa. Here you're in Israel at the moment, I guess, and way in the distance, many hundreds of kilometers away, is Nineveh, way in the distance. Jonah chapter 1. One day, long ago, God's word came to Jonah. Go into the city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. So Jonah, you're a prophet, right? In Israel, right? How's it been as a prophet? Huh? People don't always listen to you, do they? Do you enjoy being a prophet? Sometimes not so much. But you've got to hear from God, right? And you've got to deliver God's message. And God has appointed you to speak on his behalf. This is the century when those, remember the Assyrians? How they came? They were so mean and cruel, and they dragged us off into captivity. One day God spoke to you and said, hey, buddy, it's time for you to get up and go to the city known for their immoral behavior. These are wicked, cruel gentlemen. And I want you to warn them to repent and convert to my ways. Now, for our first experience this morning, I want you to listen to the reading from Isaiah chapter 6. And I want you to listen for something God says to you. And the moment God speaks and says something, it's going to be in the verse. It's something you're going to say, God, speak to me. What message do you have for me? I want you to get up, write it on the wall, and I'm going to light a candle symbolizing the word of God that comes to you and that is going to be delivered to his people. Are you ready?
It was the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting in a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And he said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go."
As you sense God saying something to you, maybe a message you can deliver, why don't you write it on the wall? There's two places over here. And something short and brief, you can't move on until God's word has come to you. So even if it takes 6 hours, we will wait. What an incredible privilege it is to hear God's word and then to go and share it with someone else. Hey, it's like a mission trip, man. You got your visa, everybody? You're going on a mission trip, you're going to Nineveh. Isn't it like amazing? Can't you, Jonah? Aren't you just like, I can't wait to go and share the good news with these people, eh? Kind of, right? Jonah chapter 1, but Jonah got up and went in the other direction, down to Tarshish, running away from God. This is weird, right? What's going on here? Other direction? You're supposed to go there. You're going there. What's up with you? I want you to take the slowest walk you've ever taken, because it's quite a windy road from where you are down to Joppa. And I want you to think as you go on that journey about things that might lead you in the wrong direction to God, not the right direction. So things that drag you away from God, not to God. So slowly make your way down to Joppa. Would you do that? What is it that stops me getting closer to God, that takes me in the opposite direction?
That's the piece right there. Hey, I've been waiting a long time for this one.
I just smile, I'm so content, and I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich, but I don't buy it.
Are y'all ready? Get yourself a little room, because this one's going to require some movement.
With a long life, you will satisfy me. You will satisfy.
You know, have you asked yourself why it is that you actually ran away from God? What is it about God's call that made you go in the wrong direction? Was it fear, maybe? Was it prejudice? Pride? Could it have been God's mercy? Yes, you know, that's what it was. You knew that God was a merciful God, and that if Nineveh repented, the Assyrians would be spared. Guess what? You actually wanted them to die. How could God be calling you to preach to the Ninevites? They were your enemies and wicked to the core. They pulled their enemies' tongues out. Yes, they put their hand in their mouth and pulled their enemies' tongues out. They skinned them alive. Not very pleasant. And in every city they conquered, they built a pyramid of human skulls. You wanted these people to die, didn't you, Jonah? Yeah, hey, Jonah? You wanted them to die, didn't you? You won't preach to them. What is God calling you to do in your life now, today, in the 21st century, that might tempt you to run in the opposite direction? You think of someone who's really hurt you. What if they came to know the Lord and were forgiven of their sins? Maybe you'd be just a little bit annoyed, right? Maybe you've prayed, Lord, I don't want them to get off that easy. I want them to pay for their sins. Well, they wouldn't really be getting off easy, because Jesus paid with his whole life. So, I mean, it cost him everything. And also, if you want people to pay for their sins, you may have to be consistent and pay for your own sins too. Jonah, you're very self-righteous. We read in that chapter 1 that Jonah went down to the port of Joppa, found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board, joining those going to Tarshish as far away from God as he could get. To get to Joppa, and you can see Joppa down there, and to get to Tarshish, you have to buy a ticket on that boat. We have our ticket lady, Tabile, and you can pay anything, but you must say, pay something. So make your way onto the boat, but you need a ticket to get onto that boat, because you are going to head down to Tarshish. Okay, go. Tabile will take your payment. If you've brought an offering, you can put it in the box. If you don't have that, something else needs to go in the other box in order for you to get your ticket. You have to pay. It's going to cost you. When you run away from God, you have to buy a ticket. It always costs us something. Something you may not get back. I don't know. I'm just saying. What you sow, you shall reap. We pay if we run. We could avoid maybe so much hassle if we went God's way in the first place. But you're Jonah. You can't. The pen will count. Something you have to pay. On board, ladies and gent. That boat leaves in 30 seconds. You will be executed if you are on shore with a nuclear bomb that's about to land. We read that God sent a huge storm at sea with towering waves. The ship was about to break into pieces. Everybody's getting wet. The sailors were terrified. They called out in desperation to their gods. They threw everything that they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Throw those boxes overboard. You're going to drown. You're going to drown. Kick those boxes overboard. Come on, everybody. What are you going to survive? I don't know. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone into the hold of the ship to take a nap. Good old Jonah. He was fast asleep. The captain came to him and said, "What's this, sleeping? Get up, pray to your God. Maybe your God will save you and rescue us from this incredible destruction. Let's get to the bottom of this," the sailors said. "Let's draw lots and straws to identify the culprit on the ship who's responsible for this disaster." So they drew straws. Guess who? You draw the short straw. And they grilled you. "Confess, why this disaster? What is your work? Where do you come from? What country? What family?" And he told them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship God, the God of heaven who made sea and land." At that, the men were frightened, really frightened, and said, "What on earth have you done?" As Jonah talked, the sailors realized that he was running away from God. They said to him, "What are we going to do with you to get rid of the storm?" By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Jonah said, "Throw me overboard into the sea, and the storm will stop. It's my fault. I'm the cause of the storm. I'm the fault in the stars. Get rid of me, and you'll get rid of the storm." Do you remember how you felt, Jonah, in that moment when you were woken up and you realized that you were the cause of the storm? You were possibly the reason why these sailors were suffering. Their lives were in your hands. They could die because of you. You're going to come clean and tell the truth? Are you going to hide the fact? Are you just going to pretend, it's not me? But no, they didn't throw you overboard at first. The men tried rowing back to shore. They made no headway. The storm only got worse and worse, wild and raging. Then they prayed to God, "Oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life, and don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best." And they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Immediately the sea was quietened down. Sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. They worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. Think for a moment as you consider going overboard in your life somewhere. Is there some area where you're running in the wrong direction to God? Is there an area in which you're refusing to obey God? Who will be negatively affected if you don't obey God? And God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. I want you to leap overboard into the whale. Thank God that a whale was there when you needed it in the big fish. And you're welcome to take a seat in the belly of the whale for a few minutes. You thought you were going to die, didn't you, when you were thrown overboard? But God was with you. He sent that fish to swallow you. Remember, God loves you. He's gifted you, and he has called you. He cares about you, even when you disobey him. Then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. He prayed, "In trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God, and he answered me from the belly of the grave. I cried, 'Help, you heard my cry.'" Right where you sit now, in that belly, that hopeless situation, ask God to rescue you. "God, I need deliverance. Would you come and save me? Save me, Lord God, where I'm thinking wrong, where I'm stressing. You've told me you'll take me through the exams, and Lord God, I'm stressing. There's that person that I'm really struggling to forgive, but you say I must forgive because you're a God of mercy. Come, Lord, into this darkness now and save me." You know, it's amazing when we're in a tough place like we are now, how we learn. "You threw me," and this is the story you wrote in the belly of the whale. "You threw me into ocean's depths, into a watery grave. With ocean waves crashing over me, I said, 'You've been thrown, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. I'll never, ever lay eyes on your holy temple again.' Notice how pain helps you accept God's will for your life. How you've realized in this painful, uncomfortable, this hardship, right in the belly of this whale, that pain is God's way of helping you realize that, hang on, I'm not following God's will. It wasn't God's will for you to be in the belly of that whale. Secondly, oceans gripped me by the throat. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up out from that grave alive, O God, my God. Doesn't pain have a way of getting our attention, making us face reality, especially when we brought it on ourselves because we run in the wrong direction? God has your attention. You know that you need to go God's way. When my life was slipping away, I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you. It made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods walk away from their only true lover. Suddenly you remember, through your pain, that God is your first love. God is your first love. Lastly, but I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised I'll do. Salvation belongs to God. In that moment, aren't you thankful that God is actually with you as you realize this may be desperate? I'm in a whale, a big fish, you know, a sea monster, but I don't think God's going to leave me to simply be eaten by these intestine juices that are all around me. Isn't it pretty disgusting down there? I mean, look at you all. I mean, this is like, I've realized, God, I've learned my lesson. So pain is not necessarily meant to punish us, but to bring us to our senses, to preserve us from a wrong path that we are taking, to remind us that we have run away from God's presence and need to return, and to help us repent and return to our first love with God. Whoa, my word. Suddenly you see light in your tunnel and you are spewed out onto land over here, and you are going to be given a marshmallow fish to eat as a symbol of what God is able to do. So out of that fish, everybody, onto dry land. Eat that fish to celebrate your incredible, miraculous escape. Yeah, the whole whale's bursting out. Won't you come across onto dry land? Woohoo! So much for that fish. And God spoke to that fish and it vomited up Jonah on the seashore. Hectic stuff. So just hang on that shore for a while. You got to get your breath, you know. You can't really move off the shore there because, oh my gosh, I'm kind of like, my gosh, I'm alive. Pinch me. And God spoke to Jonah a second time. It almost sounds like it's the same thing repeated. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh. I think, Jonah, you've learned your lesson. 500-mile journey from there to the center of Nineveh. 500 miles, 800 kilometers you have to walk. I hope no one gave their shoes in as a payment, because that would be seriously hectic. It's going to take you 3 days to walk across the city. This time you obey God and walk the 800 kilometers to the city of Nineveh. There was over 500,000 people in that city, and it took you 3 days to walk through it. This is what we read. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's walk, and preached. A day's walk, this city is huge. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. Your message was not exactly a nice message, was it? Not a gentle encouragement, but a serious warning that in 40 days God was going to destroy the city. Do you remember how you struggled with your emotions as you preached, as you began to think of preaching to these people? It's actually quite hard to preach love to evil people. I want you to make your way into the city in between the couches there, and I want you to look around, find someone, and tell them to repent and turn from their sins, okay? So move into the middle of the chairs, won't you? Everybody in the city. Because Jonah, you are going to preach up a storm. You got to repent and turn from your sins. Don't name their sins. Just tell them to repent. Hey, Wena, repent. The people of Nineveh, listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast and dressed in black bin bags to show their repentance. Some of you are going to have a bin bag to put on as a jacket. Everybody did it. The rich and the poor, the famous and the obscure, leaders and followers. When the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up off his throne, threw down his royal robes, dressed in burlap, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a public proclamation throughout Nineveh, authorized by him and his leaders. Not one drop of water, not one bite of food, no more marshmallow fish will be eaten by men, women, or animals, including your herds and flocks. Dress them all, both people and animals, in black bin bags, and send up a cry for help to God. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that have stained their hands. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, God will turn around and change his mind about us and let us live. Guess what? God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. What a gracious, loving God he is. A little bit of mourning. Can I hear a bit of mourning? Ooh, just to make sure it's like, ooh, a little bit of, woe is me, this is terrible. You watched as the people and the king repented of their sin and even put on sackcloth and covered themselves with ashes, symbols of grief and mourning. And here, 150 kilometers northwest, the biggest revival of Baghdad. So you know that area? You know, Iraq? The biggest revival in history took place. God came through and blessed your preaching with amazing results. How do you feel, Jonah? Feel great, right? Really, really great? Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God. God, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran away. I knew you were full of grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love and quick to forgive. So if you won't kill them, kill me, I'm better off dead. Okay, can leaders hand out the knives for Jonahs to kill themselves? I'd rather be dead. These Assyrians are evil. These Ninevites are awful. You tried to stop the will of God, hadn't you, Jonah? You hoped you could stop God showing mercy to the Ninevites. But God is a God of mercy and compassion. And he always shows mercy to people. You even asked God to kill you if he was not going to kill your enemies. And God said, what do you have to be angry about? What? What's God saying to you now? Do you have a right to be angry, says God, that I'm a God of mercy when you yourselves have benefited from my mercy? Remember, Jonah, when you were overboard swimming and trying to doggy paddle in that ocean and God sent the fish not to punish you but to save you, Jonah, despicable you. How could you be so silly to think that God had shown you mercy but he can't show anyone else? So can't I have mercy on the city, but I can show you mercy? But Jonah just left. He went out of the city. Okay, move out of the city, people. Stand on the outside of the city. He went to the east and west and sat down in a sulk. He put together a shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. My word, is God maybe still going to nuke it forever? Watch the city. God's going to explode it with sulfur and burning stuff. Maybe God will still nuke it. Ish, God, nah, would be good. Bombs away. Shh. Ish, it's not happening. God's not about to nuke the city of Nineveh, is he? God arranged for a broadleaf tree to spring up in your presence. You saw this thing spring up like instantly, like oh, my word. I want you to each grab a leaf and just come and grab one and just hold it in your hand. How this provided shade to you. Wasn't it incredible? I mean, think of that. Think of like, it just got so thick and it was so awesome. Don't you just love shade and in the heat? I've been in this part of the world, this Israel area. It's hot. It's like the armpit of the world, you know? It is like oppressively hot. That sun gets up to 50 degrees. You're just sweating. You're like melting. Your mascara is running, Jonah. Like down your face. It kind of looks like you're crying, right? It's hectic. He has this tree spring up. grows over Jonah to cool him down and get out of his angry sulk. Jonah was pleased. Aren't you pleased? Isn't it awesome? He enjoyed the shade. You enjoying the shade, people? And Mike is holding over his head. Woo, it's a shade. And then God sent a worm. Can the worms come? Here come the worms. If each of you could grab a worm. God sent a worm. And by dawn of the next day, the worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. I want you to eat that sour worm, remembering what that worm did to that tree in front of your eyes. And your shade is gone. I mean, if you were in a sulk before, can you imagine how angry you are now that my shade is gone? The tree is withered and has been destroyed in my very presence. And it gets worse. Oh, look at this. I mean, the sun comes up and this hectic hot wind just starts blowing down. Pretend it's hot and not nice, cool aircon. This is what we read. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the coast. The sun beat down on Jonah's head and he started to faint. He prayed to die. I'm better off dead. And God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? And Jonah said, plenty of right. It's made me angry enough to die. So while the Ninevites are praying for deliverance, you, Jonah, despicable you, have been praying for destruction. But God puts this object lesson together, right? And these are all, look how they withered and dying and just, they're not coping anymore. He's got this object lesson that gets through to you. He first got your attention by making you glad, by growing that vine, gave you shade in the heat of the day. Then you were thrilled, right? But at sunrise, God sent the worm, and you're thinking, hey, where's my shade? This is not cool. And once more, you shake your fist at God. And God said, what's this? How is it that you can change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight, Jonah, about a mere shade tree that you didn't even do anything to grow, right? You did nothing to get it. You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next. So why can't I change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure? Don't you feel a little bit stupid round about now? Huh? That's exactly what you've been saying. Like, oh man, God, you're not allowed to do this. This big city of more than 120,000 children who don't know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals. Can't I change what I feel about Nineveh because they've repented? Hey, it took you a while, Jonah, to realize that God loves his creation. He looks after people, his creation. He makes it grow. He loves people whether they please him or not. We actually heard this in worship this morning. Do you remember it was actually said by Belinda, I think it was, and maybe even Jesse, that God just loves us in that communion moment, I think it was. We don't have to work our way to try to please God. This is the heart of God. He's kind and loving and wants everyone to come to know him and experience his love and his perfect plan for their lives. What has God said to you this morning? Will you tell others about God that need to know about his love? Will you tell people you don't like that Jesus loves them? Like Jonah, that might be a little hard, right? Let's pray and ask God to help us be able to actually do that. God, we want to pray, Lord, that you would help us love the unlovable. You would give us your eyes, your perspective on people around us. Maybe that least liked person in our class at school. Maybe someone, Lord, who's done harm to us that we need to forgive. Not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you've forgiven us and we're going to pass that forgiveness on. Thank you that you are the just God, that you will deal with people justly and rightly. Would you, in your own unique, special way, come and remind us that we need your love, your grace, and your mercy. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, for what you've taught us through the story of Jonah this morning, and we give ourselves to you, to be used of you. If you send us to Nineveh, Lord, we're going to go. If you send us and tell us to love someone that we hate, Lord, help us not to have to go down in the belly of a whale to the bottom of an ocean before we go your way. Help us to go your way and not lose that stuff we had to pay this morning to get across to the other land. We pray this in your incredible name. Amen. Amen. Did you experience something this morning? Did you learn something? I truly trust you did. Next week, we'll have an amazing experience with Ruth and Genevieve, who's going to be our unique Ruth experience.